encourage you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're beginning in verse 25, reading this evening for our lesson. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he went on to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do likewise. Certainly this parable is familiar to most people who are Christians. Anyone who studied very much at all from the New Testament has discussed this from time to time in Bible classes. We've heard sermons concerning the Good Samaritan. And there are a number of things I'd like to consider from these few verses this evening that would apply to us today just as it did to the man that Jesus was speaking to then. And we're going to go back and look at the fact that the man questioned Jesus and Jesus put it back on him with a question. And how do you read this? And the first statement the man said was that, well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Jesus told a lesson in everyday terms. He told a lesson about a man who was injured, left by the side of the road. He gave him 3 illustrations of people who came by. And of course, we understand that the priest came by and he passed by on the other side and neglected to help his neighbor. Then the Levite came by, and he too, seeing the man, passed by on the other side of the road. But as Jesus related the story, he said, here comes the Samaritan, and when he sees the man, he has compassion on him. Simply stated, this man realized that there was a person by the side of the road who had some needs. Was this man his neighbor? Who is my neighbor? That question was asked to Jesus a few times in the New Testament. Certainly, when he witnessed the man beside the road, he realized that this man needs some help. So the Good Samaritan helped the man. He bound him up, took him to the place to have someone to care for him. And in the end of the discussion, Jesus told the man, this is something that you need to do. And the story of the Good Samaritan, we see that Jesus points out 2 things. Go and do likewise. And just as you've read this, as you read this, this is the same thing you need to do in your life. So it's important that we realize what Jesus is telling this man concerning love. It's all about loving God and loving our neighbor. And it all begins with that when he asked the man, what's the right thing to do? In essence, Jesus is saying, you need to go and do this. This is the right thing to do. Go and do likewise. What you have done for this man by binding him up and taking and getting help for him and seeing that he has what he needs, you have done the right thing by helping your neighbor. And that's one lesson we need to receive from this concerning the Good Samaritan, is that this man did the right thing. 2 other men did the wrong things. They passed by on the other side of the road. They ignored their neighbor. Had no compassion on the man. So there's a right thing in life and there's a good thing in life. There's the good things to do the right way in the sight of God. The right thing that this man did was to help his neighbor. And it ties in 3 things. It ties in the man who had responsibility, and it ties in with God and the love we have for God and the love we have for our neighbor. Why is it there's a lack of love today in the world among men? among people around the world, or even at home, or in the church, or in the family. It's because we don't go back, perhaps, and read the Scriptures this lawyer did when he said, the very important thing is this. And let's talk about love for a few minutes. What is the right thing to do? I'd like to take a few minutes this evening and talk about right things. There's so many wrong things in life. There's so many avenues that we can approach today and be wrong. What is the right thing to do as we look about the Good Samaritan and the story there? Well, it says in Luke chapter 10 there, the right thing to do now is to love the Lord your God. That's the first thing to do that's right. Love the Lord thy God. How do we do that in the right way? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. That's the right way to do it, brethren. We talk about problems in the church and dissension among brothers and sisters in Christ and problems that we have facing us today. It's not about me or you. It's about the fact that we're not loving God as we ought to. Jesus pointed out to this man that it all begins with love. So you read this correctly. You read the Scriptures correctly. This is the commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So let's talk about that for a few minutes concerning loving God. When we love God and we do the right thing concerning God, it means that we're going to believe God. It means that we're going to believe, know, and trust God. It means that if we're doing the right thing toward God, that that love that we have toward Him leads us to the point that we want to know more about God, we want to understand who God is, and have trust in God, and then to do that, there's some things necessary in our life. If we're going to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, there's some things that are required. Number one is, it involves study. Study of the Bible. If I'm going to do the right thing toward God and love Him, I need to study His Word so I can find out what it is God wants me to do to show my love to Him. It involves studying God's Word. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus talked about the Scriptures. He said, they are they which testify of Me. Search the Scriptures. He told them to study, to search the Scriptures. We need to search the Scriptures so we know who God is. So many people today claim that there is no God. So many today say that God is not real. The reason is that we don't love God enough to go to His Word and find out what it is we need to be doing to love Him as we should. So if we're going to love God and do the right thing toward God, we need to study His Word so we can know Him. The Scriptures testify of Jesus, John 5:39. The Scriptures are important. Over the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, when we're baptized into Christ and the Lord adds us to the church, one of the first responsibilities we have as a child of God is to study to show ourselves approved unto God and so that we can learn, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. But over in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, we're told to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So loving God involves knowing Him to the point that we're studying His Word so we can know more about Him. Sometimes we study to a point and we say, well, that's all I need to do. I know enough. No, it's not. Knowing God and studying His Word is very important. Romans 10:17, Paul says that, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We cannot know God, we cannot love God as we should, and we cannot trust God and do His will unless we study His Word. So to do the right thing concerning God and our love for Him begins with studying His Word so that we can develop faith. So we can truly believe in God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So when we think about the Good Samaritan and what he did, and what the lawyer said concerning the right thing to do was to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. If we're going to love God as we should today, we need to study His Word. Secondly, love for God means that we will obey His Word. Not only will we study, but we will obey it. In John chapter 14 and verse 21, turn over there if you will, and let's see what Jesus said concerning obeying His will, obeying the Word of God. John 14 and verse 21, he that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me, and he that loveth Me shall be loved by My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself to him. To do the right thing involves loving God, that we'll study His Word and then obey the Word that we study as we understand God's will for us. Look at verses 23 and verse 24 of the Gospel of John chapter 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's will which sent me. So to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind means that I need to be one who studies God's Word. And as I study God's Word, I need to be the one that understands that when I hear God's Word and I read from it and I hear it taught to me, I'm willing to obey it. If not, I'm not doing the right thing. I'm doing the wrong thing because I'm not listening to God. I'm not getting to His instructions, and I'm not obeying it. Loving God involves study and obedience. Well, secondly tonight, as we go back to Luke chapter 10 and verse 25 through 37, again concerning the lesson that Jesus taught concerning the Good Samaritan and concerning loving our neighbor, the second thing is that not only should we love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, but the second to that is that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus said, you have rightly said when you said you should love God and then love your neighbor yourself. That's the right thing to do. Go and do likewise. What's the right thing for me to do today? What's the right thing for you to do? Love God and then love our neighbor as ourselves. Loving our neighbor involves a number of things. These three men that came by with a man that was injured beside the road, two of them did not show their love for their neighbor, and the third one did. And the way he exercised his love toward that person was that he took action. He put love into action. He loved his neighbor as himself. He was willing to help that person's needs. So if we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to be aware of their needs. We need to be aware of what's going on with them. We need to love them and say, I'm willing to help that person in any way that I can. Being willing to assist my neighbor and to help my neighbor in the capacity that I have the ability to do so. Go back to Luke chapter 10, verses 33 through 35, and we see that this man came along, Samaritan, and he bound the man up that was wounded, took him to the place where he could have shelter, provided that he would be taken care of, and said, if there's anything more after I leave, let me know, and when I come again, I'll pay that. That is realizing the need of someone, having enough love for my neighbor to exercise my help to the one in need. That's love. And that's in the story of the Good Samaritan, that's what he's saying. Love God. If you love God, you're going to love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you're going to help him as you should. Love for our neighbor, love for others involves not only helping them with physical things, perhaps, as the Good Samaritan helped the man beside the road, but love for our neighbor involves teaching the Word of God to others. It involves teaching the Word of God in two aspects of life. Number one, by a good example, that they may see Christ in us, and that we may glorify the Father which is in heaven when they see good works in our life, and we may assist others and help our neighbor by teaching them verbally, by instruction, the Word of God. So let's examine where we're at today concerning love for our neighbor. Do we as Christians really love God? If we do, then why are half the congregation that you attend half empty? If we really love God with all our heart, all our soul, our mind, we'll be studying His Word. And we'll be obeying His Word. And we'll be loving our neighbor as ourselves. Assisting our neighbor with the needs that we're able to help them with, and teaching our neighbor by good example to bring them to Christ, and verbal instruction that they may know the Lord. Teaching our neighbor is very important. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy to entrust the word that had been given to him to faithful men who in turn shall be able to do what? Teach others also. Where I attend services and preach from time to time at Beulah. We have a couple of families here tonight. If we want Beulah to grow spiritually, in knowledge, and strength, and faith, we have to study. If we want Beulah to grow numerically, we have to love our neighbor. That we're willing to live a good example before our neighbor to lead them to Christ. that we're willing to share the Word of God with our neighbor and teach them the Word of God in a living room or in a private setting somewhere or in a Bible class. Where's our love for God and our neighbor? Love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Well, love for others is not only commanded in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. It's commanded in several places throughout the Bible. But I'm turning now to the epistle of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. And there the writer says, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son Jesus and love one another as He gave us commandment." There's probably no doubt that the brethren here love one another. I believe the brethren and sisters in Christ at Beulah love one another. And we're going to get to that in a minute about loving our brethren in the church. But if we love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and we love our neighbors ourselves, what are we going to do? Assist our neighbor with the needs that they have. Being alert to their needs and helping them, not just physical needs, but spiritual needs, teaching the Word of God to them. Have we missed some of the lessons from the Good Samaritan that Jesus was really teaching? Love for God and love for neighbor. We can't have love for God as we should if we don't love our neighbor. That involves teaching our neighbor, helping our neighbor spiritually, and assisting them materially if possible, as an individual. Well, we go back to Luke chapter 10 and verse 25 through 37 again, and we see to do the right thing, as Jesus told this man to do, go and do likewise. To do the right thing involves loving God, studying His Word, obeying His Word, loving our neighbor, helping our neighbor, assisting our neighbor, and teaching our neighbor, and includes having the right kind of love for one another in the church. I had a discussion with a man yesterday from Florence, Alabama. He goes to a large congregation, but he's not conservative. He's a good man, team. He's a good man. He's a good man in the sense that he attends services, he prays with his family. When you're around him, you know he's a good man. You can tell he's God-fearing. He cares about other people. He's a prayerful man. I've ate lunch with him, and he's a prayerful man. But the Lord's church has been torn apart, it's been torn asunder, and it's been divided. And those divisions came up over institutional matters, over recreational matters, over entertainment matters, over scriptural matters for standing for the truth. But you know how that could have been avoided? Love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. Love our neighbors ourselves. And love our brothers and sisters in Christ as we ought to. Somewhere there's a break between our love for God and His Word and the understanding of it, or we wouldn't have such division in the church. And there wouldn't be so many problems between brothers and sisters in Christ, because His Word tells us how to solve our problems. How that we can all read off the same page. But nonetheless, doing the right thing does include having the right attitude and the right kind of love toward each other in the church. Turn to Romans 12 and verse 10. In Romans 12 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." When we think about loving one another in the church and that being the right thing to do, to really, in so many words, put the icing on the cake, we need to understand that loving one another in the church falls from the idea that we love God, we love our neighbor, and we love one another in the church. But then, how do we love one another as we should? Well, we go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 and we see that Jesus loved the church enough that He purchased it with His own blood.
We understand that Jesus was willing to die for the church. He gave Himself up for it. If Jesus loved us that much and loved the church that much, ought not we also to do the right thing? Love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we have the right love toward one another, it's going to include the fact that we're going to have the right attitude when it comes to talking with each other and studying the Bible together. Look to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let's look at verses 4 through 7. Where many of you could quote these verses this evening, but having the right kind of love toward our brothers and sisters in Christ involves being kind and patient and gentle and unselfish, and among other things, forgiving. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. When a congregation fails, when we as brothers and sisters in Christ fail to love one another as we should, it's because somewhere along the line, we either never learned how to love each other as we ought to, or we stopped loving one another as we ought to. God is love. He gave His only begotten Son. His Son gave His life. His Son loved the church enough to buy it with His own blood. We get in the church so often, brethren can't get along. Sometimes in business meetings, brethren will bite and devour one another. Sometimes in Bible classes, they'll go back and forth at one another like they're enemies rather than brothers and sisters in Christ. Where's our love? The love talked about in Luke 10 for God and for our neighbor, it rolls over to the point that it also includes us in the church, that we will love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ as we ought to. But that love in the church, it goes further than that. Love for one another in the church means that we're going to take a stand for the truth. We're going to hold that stand. We're going to carry the banner of truth, and we're not going to veer from the right or the left. We're going to stand for the truth no matter what, even if there may be others in the congregation who become weak and will not stand for the truth. If we love each other enough, we'll stand for the truth, even to the point of having to correct a brother or sister who is in error. As a matter of fact, over in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, lest you also be tempted." It's hard to approach someone and restore someone in the spirit of meekness if we don't have the proper love for that brother or sister in Christ, isn't it? Love for one another in the church means we'll stand for the truth. And if it means discipline that person further than just going to them, if they do not repent and if they have a public sin, it means that we'll stand for the truth and go through with whatever it takes that God has said do, to the point we've done all we could do. And that's to go to that person, warn them, and to the point of even discipline them orderly, in an orderly manner, in a public way. Matter of fact, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, Paul said, "I wrote unto you an epistle." And in that letter, he tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, that to withdraw from those who would walk disorderly, to handle that brother who was in sin. Let's look at that just briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, concerning our love for our brother who is in sin. We bring them back spiritually with meekness, but if they're sinning publicly and will not correct it, we need to have enough love for that brother to take a stand to do the thing that's right. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 5. "I wrote to you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an adulterer or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such one know not to eat. For what I have to do to judge them also that are without, Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now Paul instructed the brethren at Corinth to listen to what he had to say, and he was getting stern with these brethren because they were letting sin go on among them. In essence, he's saying, brethren, you need to do the right thing. And if you're going to do the right thing, you love God enough to listen to God and do the right thing toward that brother that's in sin. Why? So you may save his soul. Well, the brethren at Corinth did the right thing. You turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, as Paul wrote the second letter, and you see, because Paul had enough love for the brethren to stand for the truth and tell them what they needed to do, and they had enough love for God and the truth to accept that instruction and go through and follow out what Paul had told them, that brother had been restored. How much love do we have in the church for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we think we're bestowing more love on a brother or sister that's going astray if we just let them go and don't try to do anything? Do we think we're bestowing more love on someone if we know that they're not acting right and not living right if we just let it go and don't say anything? If we love God as we ought to, we'll love our neighbors ourselves and we'll love the brothers and sisters in Christ. And we'll stand for the truth to help save souls, restore souls, and keep souls. And brethren, I truly believe that if we'll exercise that proper love toward God and others and one another in the church, souls will be saved, folks will be restored, and the church will grow spiritually and in number. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10 and consider another thought concerning what Jesus said when he said, go and do likewise. Go and do the right thing. The right thing was to help your neighbor. Well, to do the right thing involves having the right kind of love in the home between every member in the family. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we read a few verses concerning the husband and the wife and the children. We sing the song sometimes, where love is in the home. Where love is in the home. And we carry our banner and we say we love our husbands, we love our wives, we love our children, and children say they love their parents. But loving God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind involves truly loving our husbands and wives and our children and parents. And we can learn how to love one another in the family if we listen to God. Colossians chapter 3, as we think about Paul's instruction, he also covered this in Ephesians chapter 5. But verse 18 of Colossians 3 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Love in the home. Do we as husbands love our wives as we ought to? In Ephesians 5, we find that a man ought to love his wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. No man ever hated his own flesh. Why should he not love his wife? If he loves himself, he'll love his wife also. Christ loved the church enough to give himself for it, so men should love their wives the same way, and wives should be show reverence and love for their husbands. Do we love our children as we ought to? If we love God as we should, we'll love our children as we ought to, and that's going to involve teaching our children, training our children, disciplining our children, and guiding and leading our children with a good example. Children, do you love your parents? Before you answer that, you need to understand that the God you love with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength is looking at all of us right now. If we really love our parents, and we're at home under the oversight of our parents, we need to love our parents and listen to our parents. Listen to the teaching of our parents. Where is love? Love is God. We learn what love is from God. If we love God, we're going to love our neighbor and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going to love our family, our own family. One reason there's so much problem in the world today with families falling apart is a lack of love. When love is missing, we miss it all. Because love never fails. Well, if we're going to do the right thing, love our neighbor, love others, love our family, doing right is impossible without an obedient love toward God and toward other people. Look to 1 John chapter 4, and let's read just a few verses that ties in with the thoughts from Luke chapter 10. 1 John chapter 4, beginning of verse 19, we see that certainly if we love God, we're to love others also. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Go back to Luke chapter 10 just a few minutes. Go back to verse 25, where a lawyer asked Jesus the question. And he came asking the Master in order to tempt Him. He said, what shall I do? In verse 25, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what is written? How you read the law? And he told him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Notice what Jesus said in verse 28. This do, and thou shalt live. What is the right thing to do from this lesson, from Luke 10? The right thing to do is love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's going to involve a number of things that we've talked about tonight. I want to take just a few minutes and think about a parallel of loving our neighbor as we should. When our neighbor, it could be our neighbor that joins hard against us on property line. It could be someone that we meet on the road or at the grocery store. It could be someone with whom we work. It could be our neighbor. How do we treat those people? Do we show the proper love to the folks around us? My wife and I had a neighbor a number of years ago, an old gentleman and his wife, and they were good people. Good moral people. But they were not religious, not very much. I came home from work one evening and my wife said, I won't call the man's name, but we'll just use Jack. She said, he wants to see you. He called here and wants to talk to you. I said, what's it about? She said, well, it's something about our big old dog. We had a big old dog. And he was a good old dog. We'd had him for a number of years, and he would stay in his pen, and we'd let him out and run. He would make the rounds, and he didn't know the property lines, Jaw, but he'd make the rounds, and everybody in the community knew that old dog. So I went up to the Joe's house and knocked on the door and went in, and he said, Joel, I've got a problem. Your big old dog has killed some of my rabbits. And I said, well, where were your rabbits? And he said, oh, I turned them loose and let them run in the yard a little bit and said, your dog came by and he killed three of them. And I said, where have you been keeping those rabbits? He said, well, I've had them in the pen and I let them out and let them run some. So he said, but I let them out today and your dog came by and he killed three of them before I could run him off and get the pen and get the rabbits put back up. And he said, I want you to pay me for those rabbits. And I said, well, you know, that dog's a beagle and that's his job, is to run rabbits. And, of course, that didn't humor him at all. And he said, I've got a lot of money in feeding those rabbits. I want you to pay me for my rabbits. I said, well, I tell you what I'll do. I said, how much you want for those rabbits? He said, about $8 a piece is about what I got in them. I said, well, I'll pay you $8. And I'll put my dog up and won't let him run anymore unless I'm out there with him. He said, that's good. That's good. We do that. So I shook his hand and I started out the door, and about the time I turned the doorknob, I heard his wife say, now, and I won't call his name, but anyway, she called him. She said, wait just a minute, Charles. And I turned around and she looked at her husband and she said, "You know that's not right. That dog never harmed anything in this community." And she said, you let your rabbits out. That's what he does. He chases rabbits. And she said, "He ought not to have to pay you for them rabbits." She said, "You ought to be ashamed." So he said, "I guess that's all right. And so you don't have to pay me." So I was trying to do the right thing with a man to pay for the rabbits, but his wife sobbed it before it went any further. So we're trying to do the right thing. And there's a moral to this story, and I'll get to it in a minute. But later on, there was some land sold behind us, and the man bought some acreage, and he wanted to build a house. So he went to the same man that joined our land. And he said, "I need a right-of-way so I can build my house." And he said, you're not getting any right-of-way off of my land." And the man said, "Well, I've had the property surveyed, and your pasture fence is 18 feet over on Charles Singer's land, down the whole line." And the man said, "That pasture fence has been there for 40 years and it's not being moved now. That's the line." So anyway, I found all that out when I got home one afternoon. My wife said, our neighbor that wanted to build a house, our future neighbor wanted to talk to me. So I called him and he said, "Will you go talk to that old man?" He said, "Will you go talk to him? I can't reason with him." So I went up to the man's house, knocked on the door again, and went in and sat down, and I said, "Our new neighbor just wanted to build a house, called me and said you wouldn't give him a right of way." He said, "No, I'm not." He said, "That fence is not moving, John." He said, "So you can just go back out the door you came in." And I said, "Well, what did he tell you?" And he said, "Well, he told me it was 18 feet over on your property, but he said it's not. It's been there for 40 years. If it's on your property, somebody told me from now." He said, "So if you want to give him a right of way, you can give it off of your land." I said, "Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do." I said, I won't be here in 20 or 30, 40 years. I said, it's not going to matter. I'll give the man a 15-foot right-of-way." And I got up and I said, "That's fine, Joe. I'll see you later." And so, by about the time I got to the doorknob again, I heard that little shrill voice. And it was his wife. And she told me to stop, and I did. And she told him, she said, "Now that's not the right thing to do." She said, "You need to let that man move that fence." And I said, "Well, I'll let y'all hash that out." So I left. About 4 days later, the man that wanted to build a house came to me and he said, "You know what? I got a call from your neighbor and he told me to come and we could move that fence and I could be on the right of way." So if you do the right thing, my friends, if you love your neighbor and you do the right thing, even if it has to cost you a little bit, I think it pays off. Isn't that what God's saying? Do the right thing. A little bit later on, after that, this is not a fairy tale either. A short time after that, I was down in my back, and I was trying to do some trim work around my house, and my wife was trying to help me. And we just couldn't get the work done. I was off of work. And this old pickup truck comes down the road, and it pulls up in our driveway. And who gets out with a saw? And an axe. And a hoe. But the man that didn't want to move his fence. And he wanted to pay for his rabbits. So I'm going to tell you. We ought to love our neighbor. It's not the outward part. It's the soul. Do what's right. Matthew 7 verse 12. "Therefore whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them." Do ye even so unto them. Concerning love in the home, why is it that husbands and wives can get at each other and just get so angry and so mad sometimes? I don't know. But I know one thing probably is that they don't understand loving God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. My wife and I, several years ago, it must have been 30 years ago, we were called to a sister's house that worship where I was preaching. And her husband was a gruff old fellow, and he didn't attend services very seldom. He was not a member of the church. And so she said, "You need to come to her house and talk to us." So we get over there, and we go in, and her husband asked us to come. We go in and get sat down, and about the time we sit down, just to get still, they're at each other just like this. I mean, they're fighting and they're fussing. I thought they were going to kill each other in the living room. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and we didn't know what to do. That man and wife had no love for each other at that point. They had grown hard against each other. They had animosity against each other. And they were ready to fight it out right there. But nonetheless, after discussing a few things with them and after them finally deciding that they were going to get their heart right, they lived together till they both died. But without love, they could have never come to that understanding. So, to do the right thing, love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. Well, very quickly, one last point. If we're going to do the right thing, we're going to do likewise as Jesus told this man to do. To do the right thing is essential for us if we're going to have eternal life. Matter of fact, in Luke 10, verse 25, and he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The things that were involved in that was loving God, loving our neighbor, and doing the right thing. That's going to come up at the judgment, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. All nations will be gathered before Him, and there will be the judgment, and I don't know how long that judgment will take, but I know it'll be me and Him, and you and Him. It won't be a group thing. But that's going to come up, how we treated our neighbor. I was in sick and in prison, and He visited me not. Or we hear Him say, "I was sick and in prison, and You visited me." That's going to come up, brethren. If we love our neighbor, we need to be doing the right thing toward our neighbor and toward our family and toward others. Well, Luke 10 and verse 28, "Do this and you shall live." Luke 10 and verse 37, "Go and do likewise." This evening we've talked about a few things concerning doing what is right. Jesus explained to us in Luke 10 what the right thing to do is. We need to do that which is right. James 4 and verse 17, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." The question I need to put before myself this evening and the question you would need to ask yourself is, am I doing the right thing? The priest and the Levite did not do the right thing, but the Good Samaritan did. There's a right thing to do and a wrong thing to do. What are we doing? If you're here this evening, you're not a Christian, the right thing to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Be willing to confess that and be baptized, and the Lord will add you to the church. Perhaps you're here and you've done the wrong thing in your life and you brought shame on the church. The thing to do is what is right, and that's confess your fault. Repent of your sin and pray God, and He'll forgive you. There's brethren here that can assist you if you need to respond in any way. We're going to be led in the invitation song. Why not do the right thing while you have the opportunity?